This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
London Hughes, hello.
Hi. Gemma Collins is a lovely woman. The JC is a different beast.
There's two.
There's Gemma Collins and there's the JC.
So Beyonce and...
I've met them both. And Gemma Collins is so sweet. The GC, I just can't. She's too much.
When that guy came into the restaurant and he was like, "You're a bit late" or something, and she was like, "I can't handle this."
Yeah,
grand babe.
Because there's GC.
But is that real or is it for
100%
the camera?
100% real. 100%. That's a side of her.
Every Thursday,
Access All Areas
from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
It's Nabila. Hello.
Hi, Nabila.
Nabila. Sorry.
Nabila.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Let me get rid of
it.
Love Island. Oh, darling, how was it for you? How was the whole thing?
It was a massive experience, and I describe it as being inside your TV set. So before you go in, they say to you, like, it's going to be weird first 24 hours, and it is weird because it's a set, isn't it? And you're living in this set, but then you get used to it.
Is it bright lights? Can you hear the cameras go?
Outside, there are little cabins. They try and make it kind of incognito, but
it's like
you
bird spotting or something.
Kind of, yeah. And then they open this hatch, the cameramen, and you could hear it sliding. So you kind of know if you're saying something juicy,
right,
that they want to hear it because you can hear it. The doors go, and then they're like, "Oh, I'm saying something," and then you've got to carry on with your conversation.
Yeah,
like
pretend
that.
It hasn't happened.
Pretend it hasn't happened. Yeah, but other than that, you do forget that the cameras are there. And inside, I can describe it as like CCTV-esque type looking.
Yeah, the
cameras.
Big white cameras.
Those are the ones. Yeah.
Oh my god! But when you got the call to say you were on it, what was it like? I mean, to say that you actually are, because there's so many people.
I actually said no. Because Casa Amor is a hard one, and you got to get to know me kind of personality. And so with Casa Amor, you've got a few days to really prove yourself to the boys and the public as well. And you've got to compete with five other girls. So I actually said no. And then my friends were like, "Nabila, this, you know, you're going to be 30 next year. Just do it." And it's true. I don't think I'd want to do that at 30. Nothing wrong with being 30, but
I have to say, you look fabulous.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that actually Love Island comes under fire for a lot, right? Like, everyone's like 20. Lizzie?
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. That is Joe from Love Island.
Really?
Oh. I'm on the radio, Joe. So sorry.
But hi, Joe.
Did you
love Joe? He's my
fave. I only saw him at the reunion. I was like, "Hi, Joe." And we had a little chat, but I didn't.
I adore that boy.
Yeah, so how long are we actually in for?
So 4 days, one chill day. Lockdown 5 days, and the day we were actually meant to go in on a Wednesday, and then all the girls were shared the same hotel, but they hid each other from us. So
right,
it was so hard. One person had to make sure we didn't catch each other.
Oh my god.
And they were like, "You're going in on Wednesday." So I had my last sleep. I was like, "Yes, freedom!" Like 3 days of like being locked in a hotel room. And then that evening, they were like, "Really sorry, but actually, we're actually holding you for another day. We don't want to put you in."
OMG.
And it was just like, no, another 24 hours of being locked in a hotel room.
Yeah, I bet. It can be a nightmare.
No phone either.
I mean, was it hard? I've got to ask, because, you know, the boys didn't turn. And what were you feeling?
Oh,
my
God.
Did you not like any, or did you feel for any? Or,
do you know what?
What is that feeling like? Because it must be tough.
Yeah, I know, but they've got such a good welfare team, and I had a huge chat with Curtis because it did actually get to me. Because after the first day I got there, I was like, "Boys, I'm not sharing a bed with you. I'm just not that girl on the first date. It's not a big deal, but I just want to get to know someone first before I share a bed with them."
That's normal, isn't it?
On Love Island, you got to go straight in there, or otherwise you're out. You can't move like that. So, especially as a Casa Amor girl, so the other five girls are quite happy to do that. Well, actually, yeah, they were. I just made it very clear to the boys, and so that like kind of set me back. And then I did start getting a little bit upset, and then Curtis sat me down. He was like, "Name five things you like about yourself." And I was like, "No, like obviously I'm just like not good enough and blah blah blah," because it's weird in that villa.
I bet
emotions are so heightened, and you start,
it's like a pressure cooker, isn't
yeah
it?
And being in bed alone as well, I never understood it, but you do feel really single when you're in the bed alone, because everyone shares a bed.
Yeah, I bet.
And so he sat me down and he helped me think of five things that I like about myself, and he made me say it 20 times meant it. And he was like, "You got to believe in yourself." And then even when I left the villa,
that's,
they were
really
like, "You
sweet
need to exit." He's like, "Be confident, Nabila. Make sure you're confident." So yeah, I got help in there, but it
you
was
see, that
hard.
Is so true.
Yeah. He's having a bit of a tough time with it, Curtis, isn't he, since he's come out. It's like,
I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think he's well, having a tough
he's
time?
A tough
what you
cookie.
Said about what you said about him and Tommy kissing kind of got picked up.
Oh my God! Wait, did that happen? We want to know.
Basically,
did Curtis
there was
and Tommy
there was a, the game where we were against Catherine Moore, and they accidentally text. Saying one boy has to kiss another boy. Can't remember the ins and outs of it, but I know that they were meant to say one boy has to kiss another girl. And so they just snogged. And then the producers were like, that was an accident. So they snogged, but it was literally, I didn't mean it in that way, but because of what's come out.
Yeah, yeah,
it gets
yeah.
And also, twisted.
And because of what's happened with Curtis and what happened with him on his interview on Good Morning Britain
yeah,
and
I heard
stuff,
about that.
It's all been a bit.
I mean, explain to people that didn't know what happened with that.
Well, they were keeping at him saying, are you bisexual? Are you bisexual? And he was going, I don't want to label it. I don't want to label it. So obviously, it doesn't look very good.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah. But it doesn't look very good on the GMB presenters to like try and force someone to come out.
Oh my God, that's so true.
But can I say, talking of snogging, there's been reports.
I know.
His name's Michael. I've met Michael.
Michael?
And
don't
he's
you
charming.
Love Michael?
Oh my God, listen, I'm going to be honest. When I watched him on the show, I thought he's a douchebag. Can
no,
I say
he's
that word?
So lovely.
Of course.
And then I met him at this morning show. He was in his dressing gown that had nothing to do with it. And do you know what? He was a gent.
I spoke to him
was
this
adorable.
Morning and I was like, I'm going to tell everyone you're nice. It's the last thing I do because everyone
thinks
he's a villain.
I actually said, and I actually, there were people there and they were like, oh, we don't like Michael. And I said, no, please. Speak
people?
To him.
Who?
Well, many. From journalists, producers.
What?
And they went, no, because of how he behaved.
Aww. He actually gets really upset about that.
And you know what? He was so sweet.
He's
and
sweetheart.
I wouldn't say that. You know me, Stephen. I wouldn't say
no,
it.
No.
And he was absolutely...
Yeah. Has he been here? Has he been to FIBA?
I'm no, getting him in.
Get him in.
We're getting
get his
Michael
side
in.
Of the story.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, a lot has to do with editing because you only have an hour.
Yeah.
And it is edited down and you know.
But even me, I got a bit of stick. When I came out, I heard that apparently I went, do you want a girl or a woman? And like, it was said in jest and a little bit of like, a bit of attitude. And then I got all these people being like, who do you think you are? And it's just how things are edited because a lot of my time was just me goofing around.
FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
Our guest now, Daniel Lawrence Taylor.
Hello.
The creator of the sitcom Time Wasters.
Yes.
And I can imagine if we do a Series 3, the amount of stuff that I will get rid of for Series 3 as well. A
couple like, more white people, I suppose.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, I'd probably get rid of all the white people, actually, and just make it all black. That's my aim. Just an all black sitcom where we just are racist to white people.
Wow.
If that's even possible.
That's kind of crazy.
It is, but that's comedy.
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 PM. FUBAR Radio.
We're joined now in the studio by comedian and theatre maker Will Jackson, and you have currently got a show called Yours Sincerely, and it's about the fact that you accidentally stole 300 second-class stamps.
Accidentally stole? Can you accidentally steal anything?
You can accidentally steal 300 second. I did not go in with the
intention
to steal 300 second class stamps.
Okay.
I don't think anyone begins their day thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steal 300 second class stamps. But it happened. I'm here. And I've got a show out of it.
It's pretty when it happens,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's good. So I'm a fan of letter writing. That's come about from the stamps. And that's what the show's about. It follows different correspondences that took place through the letters that I sent and the hijinks that happened and got on with and through the letters.
So, is it a thing about old communication and re-establishing that kind of communication of the past and how that's gone, but we're trying to bring it back?
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I'm quite a young person.
How old?
I'm 24.
You're 24? You are young.
That's young.
Oh, my God. That is...
How old are you guys? Like, 27, 28?
Thank you.
That's very kind. You are 16 years younger than Nathaniel.
Yeah.
A whole person old enough to have sex.
Yeah.
Wow.
Younger than Nathaniel. And the person isn't old enough to have sex between me and you.
No.
Fantastic.
Let's none of us have sex with the person between you and Nick Helm's age.
Yeah.
That'd be a bad idea.
Good plan.
Let's not do that.
Glad we all came to an agreement there.
They'd be 14. I've done the maths. A 14-year-old. Still 2 years.
But I think it's interesting because it's a one-man show.
Yeah. And also, just as a young person, letter writing, like, we're all glued to our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really remember a time when communicating wasn't done for a thing. I remember landlines, but that's about it. And
sure.
So stumbling across letter writing was quite a neat kind of sitting down, spending some time focusing on what you want to say to that person.
When did this happen to you?
2017.
2017. 2 years ago.
Yeah. Mm. I've just graduated uni.
I'm quite good at maths.
Yeah, look at you. Look at you go.
Doing all the maths today.
And so what are you finding? Because it feels like a very different discipline writing a letter, right?
Yeah.
And are you putting things in? Do you feel like... Because I think now even if you write a birthday card, once you've written happy birthday, you go, I mean, I'll give it to them in person and I'll talk to them.
But if it's something going over distance, you can put that time into it. And I think also with letter writing at the moment, like until I started this project, people only really send letters when they have to, like returning like a form or like birthday cards. It's just a classic.
My sister was great always sending postcards, but I'd never know what to write on a postcard.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd get a postcard and I'd be, you know, and I just think I'm just writing for the sake of filling up space. No one wants to read that.
But it's fun, you can have fun with it. So sometimes I didn't write them as myself. And I just, like, I wrote to Cadbury's as a 9-year-old boy to get free chocolate, and it worked.
It worked. I wrote to Kettle Chips once.
Hang on, I'll just make a note of this.
No, this is a thing.
If you are a cop, you do have to say, right? That's. No? Okay.
I wrote to Kettle Chips, and I just said, can you tell us about what's the difference between your crisps and other varieties of crisps? And then they didn't really write a letter in response, but they sent me a box full of large bags of Kettle Chips.
Lovely.
So I think that it's a thing, isn't it? If you write to people, then they send you.
They don't know how. That's it, because I think letter writing is such a thing of the past now that they don't actually know how to respond and just send crisps. Yeah. You know, I just have some crisps, I don't know.
Like, well, even if they're Kettle Chips, they just still send crisps back. It's incredible.
Also, handwriting as well. I did the preview yesterday, obviously midway through my Edinburgh run. But I did a preview last night, and someone, Henry Packer, you know Henry Packer.
Yes.
He came to see me, and he gave me some notes and stuff. And I wrote them down, and what I normally do is I write my notes on my phone in the, is it called notes? In the notes section. And then... I wrote them in a notebook yesterday with a pen, and my handwriting was just appalling, and my hand got tired really quickly, and it's just like a thing I'm so out of practice of, and it's a massive ball ache, and but the writing is just horrible. I used to have really nice, occasionally on like birthday cards and stuff, I'll get the good handwriting out, but yeah, it was just horrible.
Did you guys have that in school? Did you have like handwriting classes? I know some people did.
Yeah, did you not?
No.
You not had handwriting?
Like, it was just
quite
like...
Early.
All computer, early. Was it like Minority Report when you were school?
It was all touchscreens.
Wow, really? Classes. So no, you weren't writing?
No, we were writing.
Okay, good. Because I'm terrified.
Never like calligraphy or anything like that. But some people get really into that.
We used to do calligraphy. Yeah. I think calligraphy was before my time. Nat?
No, it was all like, you know, big feathers when I was at school.
What were scrolls like?
I still use a scroll.
Nice.
The first time you saw a biro, you thought it was witchcraft.
Oh, yeah, we burnt the first... I mean, we found out later and it's a shame.
Yeah.
But someone had to die.
Biros were invented for the space missions.
Really?
So that they could write upside down and write wherever with gravity. And then didn't someone point out, why don't you use a pencil?
Yes, yes, that's right. Because that was apparently the US developed this pen, this you could write it, and the Russians were like, oh, we used pencils. And they were like, oh,
But yeah, we didn't have handwriting classes, but obviously there was a difference between when you're very little, there's a difference between like just writing the letters and then learning to join them up.
Handwriting was definitely a thing though. Yeah. Like it would be a thing you'd be marked down for if you had poor handwriting and very legible handwriting.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it's like in my day. Yeah. It's like how we used to live. It's like a history lesson. Really? Yeah. Do you know? Oh,
no,
come
I
on.
Think so. But I was left-handed, so every time that's the other thing about, what are you? You left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed.
So I was left-handed. So
this is a sensitive
subject
for you.
Fucked up every birthday card. Oh, I just smudged everything.
I mean, that was another sign of witchcraft in my day. Left-handed people.
You'd have gone with the biros.
In the olden days, because my mum's ambidextrous, because she was left-handed, but it was beaten out of her because everyone had to be right-handed. Oh. That's insane. It's just
we've really drifted off the point, haven't we?
No, we haven't.
We don't go away. I suppose so.
This is exactly on point.
Well, it's left.
It's just uncomfortable because we're not talking about
left is sinister, isn't it? Latin.
Yeah.
That's,
oh, is
what
it?
That's what that word is.
Sinister. And it's cack-handed up north.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page. And I'm very excited to be talking to Kelsey and Nick from Local Natives. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Letterman was fun. I had an interesting situation at the end of our set. He's like, oh, where are you guys from? And here, I'll go over here so like it makes sense. So I was just like, Silver Lake! He's like, cool, thanks. And then he leaves.
Maybe to make you feel better, we'll do the reverse. So I'm going to get you to ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, where are you from?
Bexley Heath! Right, you got to represent where you're from.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Well, hello everyone out there. It's me, Joey. Except it's not me because I am Ed from Ed the Dog Band. I'm joined here with the bassist in my band, Zach, who's going to co-host for me.
Hello.
I play guitar in the band. I write the songs. I put the music out. You know, it's a whole thing I do. And I have no help from anyone, do I, Zach?
No, not a single soul.
And I am delighted to welcome to the program, Mr. Charlie Barnes! Charlie Barnes!
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I am just fine. Thank you, Ed.
We're going to do Best Guest, everyone. Now, this is a Joey Page feature.
So I'm really not into the spirit of competition, by the way. It just, you know, it kills the fun of everything.
It's really okay. It's going to be all right. Sure? You're not going to be judged for these. I mean, you will be at the end, but it's okay. It's okay if you're not the best guest. I still love you all the same. And you, Zach. I'm going to ask you 4 questions, and then at the end, me and Zach are going to decide who's best. In fact, it's just going to be me, because I'm also going to ask Zach these questions at some point. Okay, first question. It's 30 years in the future. What actor plays you in the biopic a la Rocket Man, Bohemian Rhapsody about the Charlie Barnes experience? Now, you can use actors from nowadays because obviously the actor who would play you would be a baby right now. But just use any actor from nowadays. I've got my personal choice. Zach may have a different choice.
Is yours Jeff Goldblum for you?
No, Jeff Goldblum for me, sick!
Yeah.
Mate, mine's Benedict Cumberbatch from myself. Although more likely to be Simon Bird from The Inbetweeners, right?
Maybe Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, no, see, I was going to say Dan Radcliffe.
He's a Dan Radcliffe thing all the time.
He's Daniel Radcliffe, look at this.
Yeah, no, I
perfect.
See that more, to be fair.
It's quite a tough one, isn't it, these sorts of things? I don't know, like, my gut instinct would be to go for someone quite artful and decent, like Ben Whishaw or someone
Well, that's nice.
Love a bit of Ben Whishaw.
That's a great choice.
Yeah,
because you don't have any other band members. I was going to ask you also just one member of Bastille and then put down an answer for them as well.
Right, who would play?
Maybe Nicolas Cage.
No. We saw Nicolas Cage in a restaurant in LA.
No way! Really?
He is everything you'd hope.
Oh my god, I bet.
Stature and presence. So yeah, and also he's got quite long hair now, so I would say that in the biopic of Woody, Bastille's drummer's life, it would be Nick Cage. Absolutely.
Right, fair enough.
I think he would probably approve that.
Yeah, I think that'd be an amazing choice.
Yeah, there we go. So we've done a funny one and a serious one. That's nice,
there
isn't
we go.
It?
Charlie, I've got one for you.
Oh, okay.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah,
Hugh, Jackman.
Yeah. Oh. Hugh Jackman's a great
That's an
choice.
Enormous compliment, guys.
It's the shape of the face.
Yeah. Shape of the
you've
face.
You've got
huh?
a real yeah. You've got a real Hugh Jackman thing going on.
And he can knock out a tuner too, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey? That he can be.
You could be the next Wolverine. You thought you considered?
I don't think I'm quite buff enough for that.
All right, let's smash on to the next question before we go on a real tangent.
Okay, good. Thanks, guys.
This is this is a classic, but I just wanted to keep it in there. What noise or smell do you love?
My favourite noise in the world is going to be the time when I am preparing to take my dog Luna on a walk, and she's aware of the fact that the walk is going to happen, and she's got her little, like, we call it her brassiere, but it's a harness.
Right.
She's got that on. I'm faffing around trying to find poo bags and lead and stuff, and she'll be stood by the door going like, come on, and then eventually she'll be like,
mate, you've got that down to a fine art.
And I hear it a lot, and it fills me with so much joy. So much so that if you listen to my most recent album, Oceanography, after the last song, The Weather, if you turn it up real loud and leave it going for a few seconds, you'll hear her go.
Oh, amazing! That's amazing answer.
Nice.
A single clap for you. Zach didn't want to join in. Next question: you're roped in to represent the UK at next year's Tokyo Olympics. What sport do you pick?
So, I mean...
You've only got a year to train.
I've only got a year to train. Well, when I was a youth, I did get a couple of sweet taekwondo medals.
So you'd go with a year to train? you'd go for... Mate, that's asking for punishment.
I mean...
Were you really good? I mean, I'm
absolutely
not,
not. It was like the patterns bit where it's essentially like slow dancing that looks a bit like punching. I mean, I was
I haven't even started a guitar yet. I really admire that out of all the sports you'd pick a sport where you can get hurt the most and be the worst at. I'd pick something like. I guess I'd pick rock climbing now, but...
Oh, you're one of them now, are you?
Yeah.
You want to watch your fingies there, boy?
Player. I pulled two tendons out of my hand the other day.
It's the fact that it rips your those hard-earned calluses. I can't be doing that.
Oh, no, no, it's great. My hands are like leather. Edward Leatherhands.
So, that's nice. No, but in all seriousness, the sport that I would represent the United Kingdom, the so-called United Kingdom, at would be axe throwing, because by then it would be... the Olympics, and turns out I'm not too bad at it.
Nice.
Perfect. Love that. I love that. Next question. There's actually five questions, not four, so we've got two more. The next one's a quick fire, really, anyway. Favourite biscuit?
Chocolate coated hobnob.
Ooh.
I went shopping with my darling wife. Bunch of years ago when we were first getting back together, and we went to the shop to pick up some bits and pieces, and we went to pick up some biscuits, and I was like, right, let's see what she goes for. I'll let her pick. She picked up the chocolate coated hobnobs. I dropped to one knee right there.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
There are men and there are giants.
Bassist stills in the building, flash the camera. I'ma drop the hammer. Days done change the hip hop scissor, then Bobby out the slammer. Hip hop start on the East Coast and then move west now down to Bama. I'ma bring it back to New York, hold those blunts and throw your hands up. Pass me a cup of the goose in the club with the juice in the bug getting bent out. Then I'ma slide with a dime to my ride and head up to my penthouse. Oh, I'm not trying to take it slow. Working hard, cake and dough. Open up 24, we striving for that goal.
I'm stopping nothing.
Changing climates and replacing humans and fracking soils while bulldozing forests. But they can't defeat us, they could not destroy us.
Are we dreaming the same dream of money, guns, and gasoline?
And nicotine for the average teen. CFOs are after cream. GMOs extracting genes with everyone on my CPA.
Giants, giants,
is in the building. Woo! We can't not talk about your new best friend, Nicki Minaj.
She had tweeted my lyric and then she put a wig face and I was thinking, Nicki, you're crazy because you know that I'm going to see this and I'm going to be hyped. And I remember we was coming from Leeds to London and I got Five Guys and I was so excited I couldn't eat it. Like, I couldn't eat. I just felt like, this is a dream. Like, is this real? Like,
and if you turned down a burger for that, that it was a serious situation.
Yeah, everyone knows I love food. Like, that's just it. Do you get me?
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Alakai Harley, welcome back to FUBAR Radio.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Honestly, lovely to have you. You came in on Michael and Marcel's show before, didn't you? Did you have a good time?
That was amazing.
Did they look after you?
Yeah, they did.
I'm going to have to talk straight away about what we've just been chatting about. Notting Hill Carnival.
Yes.
The Red Bull stage. Yep. An iconic stage in an iconic carnival, an iconic moment for London, actually. Yep. Really exciting. How are you feeling ahead of... It's next Saturday, right?
It's next Sunday.
It's next Sunday. Sorry. Next Sunday. Sunday, Monday, isn't it? Because it's like Adults Day and then Kids Day.
Yeah, sort of thing.
But neither of them ever differ.
No, they don't. It's only if they're wearing costumes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you're feeling.
I'm feeling really excited. I'm going to be with Tony Matron. It's going to be us, our hot shots after Dark Sound System.
Sick.
So it's going to be sick. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still a bit of pressure and it's like... But I'm excited and I think everyone should roll out. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
One for the books.
And we are going to will that sun to shine.
Yes, we are. And even if it's not shining, we're going to have a good time.
I feel like you would not even bat an eyelid if it was pouring with rain. I think you'd just be there.
Yeah, I think I'll be fine.
Yeah. Because like you were just saying with live sets and stuff, even when things go wrong... You have to just like, it's you. You're there to make it happen.
Exactly.
Does that feel like something before you go on stage? Do you kind of get that feeling of like, oh, this, like, a, I guess a heavy pressure?
Mm-hmm. I think definitely, but I think every artist gets that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just kind of pray. And the ones I prayed, I'm just like, it's supposed to end how it's supposed to end. I just make sure I give it everything I've got on that stage. I can't leave and be annoyed with my performance because the only person I can blame is myself.
Yeah.
You know, so I just go out and shell regardless.
And in terms of it being Carnival, obviously very iconic.
Yep.
And a festival that I think is very full of love.
Yep.
You know, Carnival is full of love and it's full of people who enjoy music.
Yeah, exactly.
Most importantly. Is it something that you've gone to a lot over the years and now you're about to like headline the Red Bull stage and it's just like a bit nuts?
That sounds so nuts. It's so crazy. You know what's funny? I'd only been to Carnival 1 year before that, before 2017. 2017 was the first time I performed at Carnival on Rampage stage. And then obviously we had 2019. You know what I mean? 2018, sorry, 19. But you know, 19's coming actually. Yeah, so only twice realistically. And then I went once before. So I wasn't a really Carnival goer. But since 2017 and actually going there, obviously I haven't gone and been, you know, got to mingle.
You've been,
but like,
it's
the vibes, it's actually mental.
You've kind of had
crazy.
Your induction has been on a different level because it's like you're not roaming the streets. Yeah.
Except, like I said, there was 1 year though, but that 1 year it was pouring with rain. And I remember I was in costume and they didn't have my bottoms or my top, one out of two, but I was in costume and it was like, obviously, you got not paint. I didn't have paint on me. Some people had paint on them though from the morning. And I had all the glitter and stuff and the weight, but it was a different kind of pool. It was like rain, like we were swimming. And like I started caring at the start and then I realized everyone around me didn't care.
No,
I'm the only person trying to be cute right now. And the minute I let go, we were just dirty. We were just there. Like, as in when I'm saying dirty, I mean hygiene-wise.
Mud
and all of that stuff, And just brucking out, skinning out all the way. And it was good, a great time.
But I think once you let go, you can't enjoy yourself. And I guess, in a way, that's kind of what you're saying about your live show, is that, like, you just got to let go and have a good time.
So you can enjoy yourself fast.
Yeah, because if you're sat there on stage being pissed off about how wet it is, you know, no one's having a good time. But I feel like that's an energy that you don't ever bring anyway when you perform.
No, I try not to, except for when it's actually wet on the floor, because that's the problem.
That's scary.
The problem is, because my problem is not slipping in front of everyone, because that goes viral. I've got the music to back it for me. That's cool. That part, no, me cheat, that part's cool. But what I'm scared of is the pain.
Yes.
For me pulling something.
Yeah. Like, also your bum,
I need to continue.
It would hurt.
Exactly, and I need to continue performing. So that's the problem. I don't want to hurt myself before I finish.
And we've all seen all of the stars fall. We've seen Madonna get whipped off stage.
Yeah.
We've seen Beyonce bow down. and we've seen it all. Yeah,
the fan, and then she sang about, she's a G. She sang about the fan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but that's the point. You got to own it when it happens, you know. So you're off to the studio after this to kind of finish off stuff for Saturday, but also working
on Sunday.
Sunday. Why do I keep saying Saturday? Like every weekend has been a festival for me. This whole summer, and it's always every Saturday. I'm going to a festival.
Yeah.
But because Carnival isn't really a festival, it is in terms of what it is, is like music, but it's not. It feels very, put it this way, it feels very naughty to be out on a Sunday.
Wow, kind of, little bit.
Even though I don't have a normal job where I get up.
But it's still just...
But it's still like, ooh, I'm out on a Sunday, I'm so crazy.
That's why we enjoy it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunday and Monday.
And I enjoy it too much, and that's the problem.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk a little bit about the remix too. I mean, oh my days. Kojo Funds.
Yes.
What? But also, as soon as it dropped, everybody went nuts. You went to Jamaica to shoot the vid, which was, by the way, is beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You must have had the most incredible time because obviously it's going back to your roots as well. So did that hold a special place in your heart?
Definitely. The first time I shot a video was for Nardan. And so then to come back and shoot, and when I shot Nardan, it was the first time I went back to Jamaica since I came here when I was younger.
Really?
So going back the second time now to when I did Rushing, it was just like, I'm here, and I just felt good and, you know, really empowered. It's always great.
It's a 360 in the sense that, like, you're coming all the way back, but look at what you've done in that time.
Exactly.
That is
crazy. That's what it was for me. That's what it is.
In terms of the actual process with Rushing, like, what made you kind of put the remix out? How did you get involved with Kojo? Like, what was the process? Was it all sort of like, because I know sometimes it comes through managers, sometimes it's a link up. Like, how did it all happen?
This one is kind of a bit of it's kind of both ways, actually, because I did the Kojo the Golden Boy tour. Mm-hmm. So I was on tour with Kojo for all the dates, and he was just so like lovely to me, like just making sure I was good. You know, I was a support act, and not every artist actually cares what the support act's
doing. Sometimes you don't even meet them.
I mean, I'm trying to say, but he like really, really cared, and he was just really lovely about it. And you could tell that he actually wanted me there to support. And from there, he actually said, like, let's get something done.
Yes.
And you know, I'd rush in, and then not too long after that, it could have been a week, and he was in the studio doing Rushing. We were back in the studio together, and we'd finished it. We went to Jamaica, so everything was shot in Jamaica anyway. It was like the remix was shot there all at the same time. And then obviously we dropped the record, and then we dropped the remix. And
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. We're joined now by Alex Fox.
I'm not a fan of 50 Shades. Those books are not well loved by many people on the responsible fetish community scene because they depict in many ways a problematic dynamic. Least exciting erotic series that I've seen in a while. I've virtually fell asleep watching those films. But
that
also
can happen after a while.
True. If I'm late for anything, it's usually I've had a wank falling asleep. A fap and a nap, as I like to call it.
Every Monday,
Ian Molesworth
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined now by Connie Hook.
Hello.
I'm talking about Cookie.
Is Cookie and the most annoying boy in the world?
Yeah.
And it's for, I'd say, 7 to 12-year-olds.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a very advanced toddler.
Did you write it as a children's book? Like, it was planned out to be a children's book. That was what you were doing in the first instance. And did you have an age bracket in mind? Or did you go, I'm going to write it and see what it falls into?
No, I started to write it very much as a children's book. Because it's stealth woke. It's stealth education. This book is like a funny romp. It's Bridget Jones meets Wimpy Kid, but also you're learning in the process. Oh,
yeah.
You see what I've done there?
Yeah, I heard
there was science in it. Is there science in it?
Well, she likes science. So Cookie is into science. She's into education.
Okay.
She likes long words like troglodyte and defenestrate. And her and her friend make lists of long words. And she likes science. She's also got a very creative imagination.
Okay.
So she sees the absurd in everyday life. Let's face it, life is getting more absurd by the minute. So I've illustrated all her sort of flights of fancy, her mind thoughts, her forays into the world of her brain. And I had to pause on that.
It was good though. It was dramatic.
Did you like that? Dramatic.
Yeah, and you can't do that really with writing, but in real life you can do that. Pause.
Yeah, like this.
That, yep.
Yep. And so I always had this thing growing up where people were like, are you a science person or an arts person? You answer science, answer science. And I was sort of like, well, I'm both. Bog off. Why do I have to put myself in a category in this way? Why do I have to just limit things?
Yeah. Like it all.
Yeah, I like it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best. Yeah. I want it all and I want it now.
I'm in the conflicted head here at the moment because whilst it's good for the show for you to lose your mind on air,
yeah,
it's bad for you.
do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I want to make sure you're all right, but at the same time, I do want you to freak out.
I think I'm all right. I don't know. I get confused.
How much press have you done today? Have you done other stuff today already?
No, do you know what I did today?
No.
Which was very lovely.
Go on.
I went to Evelina Children's Hospital. So my son, my seven-year-old, whose favourite book is Cookie and the most annoying boy in the world. Can I add? He said it's not nepotism.
No.
I went back to the hospital where he was born, just next door to Evelina, which is the sort of children's bit, which is linked on. And I gave books to the children and did a little session with them. I sort of read a bit of the book, did a bit of how to write a funny story. We all did a comic book story together with them chipping in ideas. It was lovely and it was wonderful.
Do you know what I thought when I picked your book up before? Because honestly, you couldn't move your book in here earlier on, and I was wondering whether you've overprinted. Because I walked
through three copies.
But they seem to be everywhere, and these things were everywhere as well.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I've got loads. No, these are everywhere.
Oh, no, that's a bit scary.
Oh, I should say what they are. So they're
press releases.
And
your bio as well.
I literally just flicked through it. Like, literally
you
that
only
quick.
Flicked through it? You should have
I was doing a show.
Oh, that's all right. You're being professional.
Yeah, I was just having a quick look.
Because he's not a woman. We could multitask.
You could be presenting and reading.
We could have done a show and read the whole book.
Exactly.
And fill the dishwasher at the same time.
I could do that as well.
And put our makeup on.
Absolutely. It could all have been done.
Hear me reading it while I was.
You'd be muttering
you'd hear
it out
in
loud.
The background. Yeah,
you'd be,
sounding out the words.
Yes,
phonics.
Exactly that. And you'd see my finger going along the line. Yeah. But anyway, what I was saying to you, I'd like to pay you a compliment.
Oh, go on.
When I looked through the book, I read nothing. I read nothing. Again, don't look at me like that because this is a compliment.
Okay.
I read nothing at all and flicked through it. And you were here, didn't I genuinely say, I love this book?
You did, actually, yeah.
I really did because the illustrations and stuff within it and the fact that the book, I like that idea of not going, I'm not going to sit down and write a book. If I need to illustrate something, it will be illustrated. If I need to put a little side bit into it, you know, like a little separate bit that's relevant to what's going on.
Yes.
There's no rule that says you can't do
that. There's no rules. And this is the thing. So Cookie, her brain goes at a million miles per hour.
Yeah.
And she always, you know, us girls can relate to this. She goes off on tangents. One conversation will lead to another, will lead to a thought, will lead to, you know, I might be sitting here and chatting to you and then thinking, oh, I wonder what shampoo Ian uses. Or I might be thinking,
I've been thinking that for a while.
Or is their body contact saying like that they hate each other really? Yeah. You know, there's a million thoughts going through our heads all moments.
Yeah.
And so I've drawn sort of little funny cartoons with her head thoughts in. And then the story is the actual narrative that she's saying in the first person. But then as well as that, because we want to get kids into STEM subjects, that's science, technology, engineering and maths, there's loads of stuff like Venn diagrams, there's graphs, there's little bar charts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All the methods of showing sort of data. But they're all to do with funny things. Like, so there's a graph of like the amount of hours she spends with her best friend correlated with how happy she is, and obviously it's a positive correlation.
Yeah.
And then there's stuff like there's a Venn diagram where it shows how people get picked for PE teams. So it's like popular, unpopular, sporty, unsporty, and you know, so it's kind of getting kids into these methods of notation,
and they're all things
through
that you,
funny methods,
and the things that you could actually write, so you could just write those, but to employ different, would it be media?
Different sort of techniques.
It's really, I love that in a
book.
Like
there's a pie chart of thickos versus non-thickos, you know,
because
she's saying that there's more thick people in the world than there are not thick people or whatever.
Okay.
So there's just funny things going on because there's a lot of reluctant readers out there. Often kids sort of think they're not into reading them, they just haven't found the book that taps into them.
Yeah.
And actually, if you don't, it could mean that you're a reluctant reader for life. Whereas if you get kids into reading while they're young, then they're more likely to sort of go through life reading. And reading breeds empathy more than many other mediums. And we need empathy in our children. Grown-ups are beyond help. Like, we're so set in our ways. Already by 30, you're shaped. By 20, the blueprint has been set. Mm. But in your primary and some of your secondary years, you're shaping, you're learning, you're forming. You're only subjected to what society tells you are the norms. So if the norm is just to, I don't know, be nice to other people and want to sort of help society and, I don't know, pay taxes or save the world, if everyone's doing it, you'll feel sort of shameful to not do it. But if the norm is like, let's just buy more and more clothes and have like more and more things in our wardrobe and like let's have our house looking like a show home and let's just do, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, that's what people will do because that's the norm.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Oh,
eyes of Captain Africa. Kilo Shele. It's like Kenya. I'm not a bus driver, but I ride it like Okada. It's got a bootleg CD. When I was younger, they said I was fat. I stopped learning how to swim just because of that. Now that I'm older, they said I'm looking skinny. What everybody thinks, I just do me. Pounded lamb belly, living poor. I saw the rich on TV, so I wanna know. The truth is, I only rap, but they said I couldn't do it. Now who's foolish? Somebody better call Ashanti. Holy Shola, but my auntie called me Shirley. She died of cancer. I'll be human or I'll be dancer. Shout out to my cousin Africa Labasha. Hit him with another one. I just hit him with another one. Hit him with another one. Yeah, you just been hit with another one. Hit him with another one. You just been hit with another one. Yeah, I hit him up with another one. Yes, you just been hit. I'm not a bus driver, but I ride it like a panda. If you got a fake t-shirt, then yeah, and live your life how you see it. Cause life is a gift, I'm just living in the present. Take a shot or two so you know you can feel it. I've been drinking super malt mixed with Guinness. Yeah, ever eater, I like my soup on pepper. With three big meats, I keep the clothes neat. I keep the flow sharp so my family can eat. I keep my mind clear cause I know I gotta speak. Man, I gotta eat, everybody gotta eat. Is my food and I'm feeling like I got a feast. Burp out of doubt, I wash it down with hope. I'm the Eba Ita with a belly full of dough. Hit him with another one. I just hit him with another one. Hit him with another one. Yeah, you just been hit with another one. Hit him with another one. You just been hit with another one. Yeah, I hit him up with another one. Yes, you just been hit with another one. Super mode, Bobby Rimetta, only one me. Here comes the translation, listen close. There's three girls, one eye, champagne, one eye. One cup, three bottles, two hands, six breaths. Please, excuse the math, but I skipped the lecture, so I killed the class. Now I need a graduate of my own class. A bottle holds liquid, air holds gas. Listen up, girl, your jeans hold a lot of ass. But we can go anywhere you like, just ask. Hey, Kilo Shele on the pound of yam pizza. So my visa, I run it like Naja. Not the bus driver, but I ride it like Okada. Got my bootleg CD. Hit him with another one. I just hit him with another one. Hit him with another one. Yeah, you just been hit with another one. Hit him with another one. You just been hit with another one. Yeah, I hit him up with another one. Yes, you just been hit with another one. Hit him with another one. You just been hit with another one. Hit him with another one. You just been hit with another one. Yeah, I hit him up with another one. Yes, you just been hit with another one.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
The fucking king of R&B for me, Donald Jones, man.
You know? Appreciate it. Love ain't going nowhere. You know, that's universal. That's God.
Yeah.
So that's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We can all get sex and all of that. You know, we can talk about that. But the love, the makeup, relationships, breakup, those things, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So my friend Millie says, I want to know why he doesn't make music for us anymore. Who have I got to sleep with to get a 2019 joint?
I don't know who you have to sleep with, but I mean, you will get a 2019 joint. That's for sure.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We got three for the price of one coming in the form of Remy Kolawale, Sensible J, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Nfa.
Nfa.
Who also happen to be our current guests.
What's going on?
Yeah, round of applause. We didn't even do anything yet.
I mean, do you not remember getting a round of applause the last time you came through? Because that time it was Hugh Joseph.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. That was way back, man.
Yeah. Got my promotion.
Hey!
You deserve a round of applause because you've come You come from literally half the world away.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. 24 hours worth of flying. We can't complain this time, though, because we got a gift this time, which has never happened before. We got upgraded to business class.
What? Okay.
On the first flight, which is like 13 hours.
Oh, nice.
So, like, man, I was out. Like, I was asleep. It was like flat. But I still feel for tall cats, man, because, like, I'm not a tall dude, and I still had to have my knees bent.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that's why all these NBA players must be flying first class, because that's still just like a footstool for them. You know, but
they got
blessed.
Me in the fetal position for ages.
For real. For if they can get there, you know what I mean? Like, Shaq would trip a hostess, you know. Like,
he's just got to have a whole cabin to himself so he can stretch out.
Straight up.
So the last time we spoke to you, you know, we knew you as Remy Kolawale and Sensible J, but it seems like you've kind of encompassed all of that under one umbrella called Remy.
Yes, 100%. What's been like that is just that, like, it's the same. It's just like, Sensible J is being quiet right now, but if he talks, then it's both of us. You know what I mean?
Your hands do the talking, though, don't they?
Exactly.
And his feet, that kick drum pedal foot.
For real. That is the most fascinating aspect of drumming for me, the kind of coordination between hands and feet. Yeah, hands is one thing, and then you remember, actually, the main part of this fucking beat
is the foot.
It's mad. Like, that's the thing that, when I watch a live band, my eyes always gravitate to the rhythm. The drummer, and it's just because of that fascination of that hand.
The four-way vocal independence.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't dance.
That's mad to know. I bet you could lock down a routine, though. If someone taught you a routine, I bet you could, if you get what I'm saying. Freestyle dancing, is different to kind of learning where to put your hands and where to put your feet. You know what I mean? On certain parts of the beat.
He's lying, man. I've seen him do it. He's just reserved in his funky.
The silent disco dancer.
Don't get Eric Loud, though. The only time I ever seen him dance was at an Eric Loud DJ set. Man, he was out front. Bumping. Someone go and get Eric Lau out of China, bring him right here, man, and he will make Jay dance. That's for real.
But to be fair, you can't trust people that don't want to dance to Eric Lau's DJ.
That's true. Hey,
you have to move. You have to move. But you brought a new member as well. A member? Are we calling you a member?
Yeah, well, because we're team. Like, we're still a team. He's under the banner, which is House of Beige. That's our label. That's our crew. And you can introduce yourself. You can talk.
No, you're doing a nice job. My name is Infa. Yeah, I've been rolling with Jay and Rem since a long time back. It's just I always stay home.
Yeah.
But I've been able to come out for the last 2 years. The guys keep, you know, pushing me to get on the mics and represent this crew we have called Cool Out Sun.
Yeah.
That's S-U-N, which is like, I guess you call it hip-hop meets sort of traditional Afrobeat sort of sound that I do with Jay.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other African cats in Melbourne. It's been cool. We've been doing a bunch of radio things and jumping up and dropping some of my tunes and, of course, all of Rem's tunes. It's been dope.
Yeah, so how did you guys all meet then?
Short story. Just music, man.
Yeah.
Before we continue, we need to actually have a conversation. So, like, the last time we met Michael, you know what I mean, we started following each other on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. And our manager, one of our managers, is really prides himself on, like, dad jokes and puns and all this shit. And then so we started looking at your Instagram, and I was like, yo, this guy's no joke, bro. These one-liners. And, like, it was so good that you had a hater. Like, you had, like, a full-blown hater. Like, we would pull this stuff up. We'd be like, oh, crazy. And then we'd show our manager, we'd be like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's all right. And then he pull out some weak dad joke, and we'd be like, bro, how do you think it's better, bro? Like, how can that be better than that? So, like,
it's nice to know I had that effect on literally clean the other side of the fucking
straight
world.
Up, man. Straight up. You got haters and you got some serious supporters. Like, we're riding for you, bro.
Likewise, bro. Likewise. But you've just been made an ambassador of the Melbourne's International Film Festival.
Yeah.
Where did your love of film come from?
I'm gonna be real, man. Just like chilling in my house, watching them on my computer, you know, and it was crazy that they even hit us up, you know, and I think they just were really trying to open up to, like, younger audiences and stuff like that, kind of bring it back. But it was a really good year to bring me on, because they not only had things like the Wu-Tang Mics of Men documentary that they had going on, but they also had film called, was it Girlhood? They had a film called Girlhood. Mm-hmm. But we have an artist who I'm sure you know by now, and if you don't, everyone needs to go and check her out. Her name is Sample the Great.
Of course we do. That's what we're I'm big saying. Fans of her.
Yeah, I mean, you can't not be, man. Yeah. Like, the world right now is a fan of her.
And everyone that comes through this, every sort of third person that comes through the doors has worked with her or wants to work
with
her.
Straight up.
She's popping, like, trust me.
And, like,
over here.
Understandably so, you know what I mean? And she also did, like, a really amazing piece where she kind of like she scored the whole film for Girlhood and stuff like that. So it was like family was involved. There was a bunch of hip hop stuff, so it seemed like only right. But my favorite film that they were showing was actually a film they were showing called The Australian Dream, which is about an indigenous footballer and an Australian rules football. So that's like the one with the weird ball, the world game. But he's like one of the greatest footballers
I've heard about this guy. I can't remember his name, but I've definitely
Adam
heard he's legendary.
His name's Adam Goods.
He kind of experienced a lot.
He got the backlash of Australia's like peak racism and how they have not at all accepted colonization. And this is a 2-hour film of him basically being able to tell his story uninterrupted, which is like so important because it's like we're talking about like half a decade of racial vilification. Well, more than that, but like deep racial vilification where this man couldn't talk. You know what I mean? And he was silenced at every point and he was told by everybody that he was wrong. All of these things. So Ben Simmons, the NBA basketball player for Philadelphia, he's like the executive producer on that. So it's like black greatness put this film out, and I got the privilege of watching that film with like 2,500 people in the cinema before we came over here. So that film's going to definitely get shown worldwide, you know, and I think it's a really important story because a lot of people still think that Australia is just like blonde surfers and Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Over here especially, I think that kind of dream of Australia has long been dismantled.
Yeah?
I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, like a lot of the time, the first thing I think of when I hear an Australian accent is actually racism. I won't even lie to you.
We got that South African tang now, huh?
Tuesday Takeover with Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Tuesday Takeover. My name is Cece Coleman. I am here with the lovely Gavin. He's my mate. Say hello, Gavin.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Cece. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be great.
Well, for those of you that don't really know who I am or what I do, I work on an incredible show that I adore called First Dates. It's on Channel 4. The premises for the show is people come in and they go on dates and they're immediately being judged by the way that they look. So I'm going to tell you who we've got on today. So we have two incredible comedians. I'm going to let them pronounce their last names because I messed it up earlier. We have Natasha.
Leggero.
Leggero. With another thingy. No,
it's like, you know, je.
Je.
Yeah.
Leggero.
Leggero. You know, it's supposed to be intimidating.
Okay. And we have her husband, Moshe.
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 So now you fucked up the first name, too.
Oh, God. I'm
trying. Would you like me to try
the
full name?
Tell us your full name.
It's Moshe Berlusconi. No, it's Kasher. Moshe Kasher. Moshe Kasher.
So, guys, you have a show at the moment that you're doing at the Soho Theatre. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. No, we're at the Soho Theatre. Last night was our first show.
Oh,
it was
well done.
Very fun.
Yeah, it was quite fun.
And basically, we have a Netflix special where we do a similar situation. It's all new material, but the format is the same as our Netflix special, which is I do a half hour, Moshe does a half hour, and then we come out together and do about, you know, 30 minutes of live relationship counseling slash roasting.
Yeah. basically pluck people out of the audience and get to the core, their core issue as lovers.
But last night we had a single person and we kind of tried to help them figure out what's wrong with their life.
Gavin over here is quite single. Can we talk about him and his life and how we get him a partner?
How to find Gavin love?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. What's the problem, Gav?
Oh, the
do you mind if I call you Gav?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
is that too casual?
I think it's probably me more than anything. It's just I think my standards are just all over the shop. I don't really know what I'm looking for. It's that mess of a situation when you get to a certain point in life where you're like, I want to settle down, but I don't really want to settle down. And now I'm like in this place where I'm sort of trying to have fun still, but then realizing at the end of the day, oh, actually, I probably should be thinking about someone serious. Mm. Oh, I don't know.
Are you internet dating?
I've tried it. It's a world of interesting people.
Because just right off the bat, having just met you, you're very charming.
Oh, thank you.
You're very handsome.
I thought you were going in a different direction.
Well, I'm about
just,
to.
Having just met you, I know all the problems.
Gavin's got loads of dating stories, but I'm not going to embarrass him. Yeah, I know Gavin quite well, and he's got some seriously good.
Now, what do you got,
good
Gav?
Material. Actually, you could use it in the show.
We'll just say, you know, Gavin from FUBAR Radio. Here was a story that happened.
Tell them about Get Out. Tell them about. It's literally got a title now. This story, Get Out.
Yeah, so I kind of got kidnapped on a date once.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So we met up for drinks. She got there before me. I was on time, but she said I was late. And she'd had like about a bottle and a half of wine already.
She was drunk. She was drunk when you arrived.
Hammered.
My God.
You might say foobar when you arrived.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. But I sort of went with it, and she was handling the drink pretty well. It all kind of went really well from that end. Then we went to a place nearer to where we lived, another bar around there. Then
Let me just say, I would never go to a second location with someone who showed up to the showed up to the date totally drunk.
Okay. I have to add in, she was 6'2", so she's a bit taller than me. Like
a bit taller.
A little bit. Tiny bit taller than
six
you.
6'2"?
But
six
still hot two. And young, please.
Was she dribbling a basketball on the way to location two? Yeah.
Get to the second bar, that goes okay.
Did she pick you up and carry you over the mantle?
Not quite. Then we ended up just like hanging out back at her new place.
You went to her house?
Yeah, afterwards, yeah. Oy. Yeah, nothing happened. I spilt red wine on her brand spanking new sofa.
Is already someone who was so mad that you were like 2 minutes late.
And somebody that's so much more physically imposing than you.
Exactly.
She could have beat your ass, Gavin.
Exactly.
She could have beat your ass, Gavin.
Exactly.
It's on my red wine. Not on my room. Come here, Gavin.
Oh my
She's
God.
On the other side of the living room. She just grabs Gavin and pulls him across.
Most people don't understand how realistic that actually was.
Oh my God, she got physical?
No.
Oh wait,
not
I want to know what she said. So you're such a sweet guy. You must have felt awful that you spilled it.
I felt I was ringing around cleaners, 24-hour cleaners and stuff, trying to do everything I could to make this situation better. And then at that point, I realized just before the wine incident happened, I was going to make my excuses to go. And I thought, I can't really go just now. So I stayed around a bit longer, and I actually did stay the night, made sure everything was okay the next day, and called cleaners and stuff.
How big of a drop did you spill? Like, was it?
It was quite. It was half a glass.
Okay. Ooh,
and it was on a brand spanking new light grey sofa. No. I kept hearing her getting up to lock the doors and lock windows, and I just thought, what is going on here? This is really strange. Yeah, the next day I was just like, oh my God, right? So everything's all right, and she'd calmed down by then.
Sure.
And so I just...
She wasn't pounding her fist into her hand, taking your lunch money.
Not quite. I had this really horrible feeling. I thought that I was locked in.
Oh, that is something...
Well, you were locked in.
Well, yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's not very gracious of her. I think if you're hosting and someone does spill anything on anything, you should always say, no problem, I'll take care of it. Honestly, that's the only answer.
She had a meltdown, didn't she? I don't think she was capable of doing that.
No, it was an emotional part of the evening, let's say that.
So guys, Taz, how do you two keep it together? You're married, how long have you been married? How do you keep it working when you're working?
Well, we are lucky in that we don't get on each other's nerves. I think that's a big part of our relationship.
And back to Gavin, when you're looking for a mate, I think that is one of the most important things, is like someone who doesn't annoy you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you've got to be able to spend a lot of time with someone. And you have friends who are like that. And then you have friends who are like, I can see them once every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know. To me, the most important thing in a mate.
Yeah, but in a mate.
No, in a couple.
In a mate, an actual mate, one who is mating.
Right.
Not a mate, because we're not really mates.
Mating is shagging.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Free, that's all that she could bleed, that's why she'll never stay. White but naked in the night and looking for some play. Just another girl that wants to rule the world at any time or place. And when she gets into your head, you know she's there to stay. You want it, she's got it. Molly Tangled on the chain. I'll give it anyway, just get me out of here.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.